If you had told me when I first surrendered my life to the ordained ministry as a middle school student at a Southern Baptist summer camp that I would be preaching on the occasion of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, I would have said you were crazy. But here we are. And in fact, as we gather today to celebrate the good news that our Lord, out of love for his mother, called her into the resurrection unto himself, I cannot help but note that all throughout Christianity, in many parts quite evangelical and quite Protestant, our evangelical brothers and sisters are starting to wonder if they haven't done the mother of our Lord a disservice. Indeed, throughout Christian history, there have always been ebbs and flows, fidelity and lack thereof to many doctrines, and we are in a time of renewal, when even Christians who will never have a statue of the Blessed Mother, as we do in our chapel, are starting to wonder if they should not give her more due for her role in giving our Lord his humanity. Indeed, we are in a time when many have not given due love and respect and honor to the Mother of our Lord. And thanks be to God, folks are starting to ask the right questions, to wonder how we can revere the Blessed Virgin Mary while, as always, reserving worship to God alone. This is a good time in the life of the Church to give thanks for God's love made known to us in the obedience of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this day, as we give thanks for her and we consider the Magnificat, we simply must think about what it is that made Mary so profoundly wonderful. It is 2,000 years since she gave her consent to God's call for her to bear our Lord, and we still, as she predicted, call her blessed. And we must also think about what the Magnificat is saying about God and about the people of God, and how this calls us to follow in the footsteps of the Blessed Mother as she follows God himself. Why is it that we remember Mary? The Church has always taught that our Lord Jesus Christ, the second member of the Trinity, eternally existing with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, took on humanity from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lord took on everything that it means to be one of us through his mother. If it was not for the consent of the Blessed Virgin Mary, indeed there would be no incarnation, there would be no redemption, we would not be here in this place giving thanks to God. Mary's consent was a necessary blessed part in what God chose to do in salvation history, to redeem the world through his Son, who took on humanity so that we might share in his divinity, to become sons and daughters of God. Why do we remember Mary? Is it because of her family or her status? Certainly not. When the angel of the Lord came unto Mary, she was a poor Hebrew teenage girl of no regard. This girl out in the backwaters of the Roman Empire, in a place no one was particularly impressed with. But she said yes to what God called her to do. In a time in which women were stoned for infidelity to their betrothed, she took on the great risk of bearing our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Blessed Joseph came to understand what was going on, though it took him a little while. We remember Mary's greatness not because of who she was, where she came from, but because she said yes to God. Mary was an ordinary girl until God came to her and called her to do something absolutely unprecedented, absolutely extraordinary, to give humanity to the second member of the Trinity, so that we who are not part of the Hebrews may be grafted in to the people of God. Mary is great because she consented to what God called her to do. She said yes. And while God is not going to call any of us to help his son become incarnate, God does call us to various things. And it is amazing throughout the history of the church what God has done when normal, ordinary people decide to say yes to the crazy, extraordinary things he calls them to do. We call Mary blessed because she consented to God's will in her life. She decided to take part in what God was doing. And indeed, for this, for her bearing our Lord Jesus Christ and giving him his humanity, for her raising him, for her weeping at the foot of the cross, we do call her blessed. And we do well to love and respect and revere and honor the mother of our Lord. For she, as queen of the saints, with all the saints, point us to our Lord himself, as saints always point beyond themselves to God. Mary is blessed because she agreed to do what God called her to do at great personal risk. The Magnificat is a wonderful song for what God is calling the church to do throughout the world. Now, I must pause here because we all know that preachers are notorious for plagiarism. It's true, and maybe you wouldn't admit it, but we've all thought it. We've heard thoughts and said, that sounds kind of familiar. So a lot of what I have reflected upon in the Magnificat is inspired by Pope John Paul II and his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, which I commend to you. It's good writing on the Mother of our Lord. So with that out of the way, not wanting to plagiarize, and certainly not wanting to plagiarize a pope, the Magnificat is an amazing song that is not only the song of Mary, but it plays a unique and special role in the pilgrim church, and those of us here on earth living out what God is calling us to do. It breaks down essentially into two sections. In the first, Mary proclaims God as Savior. God is the God who saves. This is true in a unique way in our Lord Jesus Christ, but this has been true throughout the Old and the New Covenants. God is the God who did not forget his people in bondage in Egypt. God is the God who expands his saving work to all of humanity. God is the one who saves. And implicit in this, if God is Savior, we can't help but acknowledge that we could use some saving. God is the one who saves us from the mess that we have made of our lives. He is the one who looks down and sees everything. Everything we have ever done wrong. And he still chooses not to sit on high, but to come down to earth, to get into the mess that we have made of our lives and to save us from it. God is a saving God. He is the one who does not forget about humanity. He is the one who comes to us when we have turned our back upon him. God is the God who saves. But along with this is a much thornier thing that we must remember. God is not only the God who saves, God is also the God who has a preferential concern for the poor. Now, I should say here that I don't care how you vote. I really don't. And you're never going to know how I vote. And I don't care what programs you like and what social programs you don't like. But the God who saves is the one who throughout history has a unique and special concern for the poor, those who cannot do for themselves. Roughly the last two-thirds of the Magnificat express this. Not only does God exalt those of low degree, he's the God who puts down the mighty. Not only does God fill the hungry with good things, he sends the rich away empty. Now, if you're like me, you might have been more comfortable with the first part, where God is the God who saves, because we like that part. But the God who saves is also the God who has a unique concern for the poor. And if we are being the church that God is calling us to be, his presence on earth, not only will we proclaim him as Savior to all people, we will imitate his love for the poor. We will care when people go hungry. We will care when people have no clothing, no access to education. We will care about the famine in Africa even when the news cycle has long since moved on. We can disagree about how to care for the poor, but there are not a certain class of super Christians who are called to care for the poor. Caring for the poor is an essential part of our faith, for it is an essential part of who God is. As central to God being Savior in our text for today, the Song of Mary, is God's concern for the poor, even over and against his concern for those who can do for themselves. This is a difficult thing to sort out, but it is something that is worth meditating upon. How God is calling us to follow him and follow the Blessed Virgin Mary in proclaiming the truth revealed throughout Scripture and throughout human history, that God is far more concerned about the poor than most of us are comfortable with admitting. God cares about the poor in a unique way that he does not care about the wealthy. I cannot explain to you all that that means. I can only tell you that is clearly what the text says. God has revealed himself as a God who is particularly concerned with the poor. So we must be as well. So this day we give thanks for the Blessed Virgin Mary, what she has done, who she is. We give thanks that she consented to what God called her to do, to give our Lord his humanity so that he might redeem us. We give thanks for her being our mother, for her being the Queen of Saints. And because of her good witness, we give praise to God alone, the God who saves and the God who cares for the poor and calls us to do the same. May God give us all the courage to say yes to the various difficult things that he is calling us to do, following in the footsteps of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother. Amen.